What's going on, guys? We hope you're doing great. We got a fun and different show for you today.
Yeah, we interviewed Elizabeth Greenwood, and she's the author of Playing Dead, as well as her new book, Love Lockdown, Dating, Sex, and Marriage in America's Prisons. And that is exactly what we talk about today.
Yeah, and her work has appeared in the New York Times, San Francisco Chronicle, Vice, Oprah Magazine, GQ, and many others. And she's an investigative journalist and a writer, and she spent 5 years following five couples in the prison system who are in relationships. Some of them got married. She actually attended a wedding in a maximum security prison. And we talk about the unique challenges of those relationships and what we can learn from them. Maybe some of you listening are incarcerated, but most of you are likely not. And there's still a lot to learn from what these couples go through. And imagine, she shares how they have to communicate well during a 15-minute phone call that they're allowed, or how to create fun in different ways to stay connected when all you can do is send pictures and write letters and phone calls and an occasional visit where you're not even able to be intimate. So it can spur creativity that we can bring into our lives.
And I think most important, it makes you really appreciate that you can be in person with your partner and hold their hand and give them a kiss and, you know, say, I love you, really whenever you want. So it makes you feel really appreciated of your partner. And as always, thank you guys so much for listening to the show and for sharing with your friends and family and for checking out our website, idpodcast.com. We have tons of free resources on there, free guides, over 300 episodes, as well as the link to our online course, Spark My Relationship, where you can get $100 off for our listeners. So we hope you guys check it out and enjoy today's show. Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thanks so much for having me.
We're really excited to talk to you. Obviously, or maybe not so obviously, you were the first guest to come on as a journalist and author and share with our audience about your book, Love Lockdown, and about love and marriage and relationships in the prison system of the United States. And we saw this book and this topic and thought it was super interesting and a great way to provide insight, some empathy and perspective on our own relationships. Probably most people listening to this are not incarcerated, but maybe we have listeners out there who are. And so, but I can be pretty sure that most are not. But there's a lot of value in understanding this kind of whole side of society, really, and how they live, and through the lens of their relationships, obviously, as it relates to our podcast. So let's start by having you tell our listeners about what prompted you to do this investigative work and write a book, and a little bit about your experience doing it.
Sure. So Love Lockdown began more than 5 years ago now, and it actually grew out of a friendship that I made with someone I wrote about in my first book, Playing Dead. This is a fellow named Sam Israel, and he was a hedge fund manager in New York, and he did indeed fake his death to avoid some criminal charges at the beginning. He ended up turning himself in 3 weeks after he staged his own suicide, and he's now in Butner Federal Prison. So years ago, when I was doing reporting for that book, I interviewed Sam, and we mostly conducted our correspondence over an email application called Corelinks that's used in prisons. And, you know, we did these interviews, but we continued talking long after that had wrapped, and we developed a friendship. And one thing Sam told me was that he will sometimes get letters from people who are interested in him, often women, often after his story has been featured, you know, in the news on a cable crime, true crime series. And I was so interested in that phenomenon because I think like many of us, I'd always heard about that. And I'd heard about it in its kind of most extreme iteration, you know, the women who wrote to Scott Peterson. And I was just always interested in, you know, what's that about? So I started poking around this topic and I got linked up with a really interesting organization called Strong Prison Wives and Families. And they are a nonprofit of 60,000 members worldwide, all of whom are supporting a loved one who's incarcerated. And these are, you know, real people. These aren't prison groupies writing famous serial killers. These are all just everyday people who have a spouse or partner who's incarcerated, and this is a group to help them. So I met some amazing women through that group, all of whom have a husband or boyfriend incarcerated. And I was really kind of off to the races once I met some of these members who have very nuanced and particular backgrounds and experiences. And I just really wanted to know, why would someone pursue someone in prison? All five couples I trace in my book met while incarcerated, meaning that they did not know each other prior to prison. So they met via a pen pal website or volunteering through prison ministry. Often they weren't looking for anything, and, you know, cut to 12 months later and they're walking down the prison aisle. So my book traces the ups and downs of those five couples.
So let's start with, why were they drawn to people that were incarcerated, or how did it happen?
Often it happened through a kind of like divine providence, people would describe it to me as, you know. For example, the main couple I follow in my book, Joe and Ben Reed. Joe at the time was going through a divorce. She had two young kids and she was feeling pretty depressed. And a friend of hers at her church recommended sending a note, a holiday card, to someone who's incarcerated around Christmas time. The holidays notoriously are very difficult for people who are in prison and separated from their families. So she logged on to a pen pal website. There are a bunch that exist. Some are more explicitly for dating than others. This was a more platonic one. And she found someone who was in prison. He said he wasn't looking. He was only looking for friendship, just looking for someone to pass the time with. And she, you know, did her good deed, sent her note, and from there developed a friendship, and from there developed more. Another couple I write about, Sheila Rule and Joe Robinson. She was volunteering for her church's prison ministry, answering the letters that would come in, and a similar thing. Just started writing with someone and, you know, really kind of landed on something that was very deep and profound, and, you know, ended up marrying this man. So it happens in these kind of, you know, not super obvious ways. I think that everyone that I chose to spoke with was not, you know, seeking out necessarily something romantic in prison and in a prisoner. And yet that's what they found.
When you said walking down the prison aisle, is that like actually in prisons people are getting like married, or is that just...
Yeah, it's. I did attend Joe and Ben's wedding in a maximum security prison. So they do happen. In certain states, you can get married by proxy, you know, so kind of via paperwork. But in many prisons and in non-COVID times, of course, weddings do happen. So at this particular prison wedding I attended, this was at Oregon State Penitentiary. And at this facility, twice a year, they will cancel regular visiting hours and they will have weddings. You have to bring in your own officiant. Prison chaplains do not do these weddings. So, you know, we showed up the morning of the wedding, and in the lobby at the prison, there's like, you know, half a dozen brides-to-be kind of milling around waiting for their ceremony. And we went through security and went into the visiting room, which the prisoners had transformed into a wedding chapel. You know, there was like an archway and a kind of makeshift aisle they had put down on the floor. And yeah, each person got their, you know, 10-ish minutes ceremony with their loved one. It was really interesting.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. After a decade of hosting this podcast and talking to hundreds of experts, we know that money is one of the biggest stressors in relationships. Now, while worrying about money and anxiously awaiting payday doesn't help, Earnin actually does by putting the money you earn in your hands today. Our sponsor, Earnin, is an app that gives you access to your pay-as-you-work up to $100 a day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an additional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Many couples end up fighting about finances, especially when surprise costs arise. Earnin allows you to seamlessly deal with the unexpected trip to the vet or that splurge on date night without the added stress, letting you both focus on what really matters. Earnin is helping millions of Americans feel self-sufficient and to worry and fight less about money. All of this without debt traps, mandatory fees, or credit checks. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in relationship advice under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. That's relationship advice under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Women's health, especially PMS and perimenopause, has been one of those chronically neglected areas when it comes to research and solutions. Thankfully, we have today's sponsor, Happy Mammoth. Our sponsor, Happy Mammoth, saw that there were no effective nature-inspired solutions to these issues. So they made one. Estro Control. Relationship advice listeners can now get 15% off your entire order on happymammoth.com with our promo code IDO at checkout. Estro Control contains science-backed herbal extracts that help support hormonal health. The way Estro Control eases PMS is pretty interesting. The ingredients help support the liver, and that is where all of our hormones get processed, especially estrogen. So when estrogen isn't processed well in the liver, some women may start having PMS symptoms, like spots on the skin, cravings, and feeling low all of a sudden. Estro Control was created to help women feel like themselves throughout the whole month. Estro Control is made especially for women who are premenopausal. It's really great for perimenopause when hormones start to fluctuate and PMS becomes really rough. I personally struggle from PMS firsthand, from super discomfort to just not feeling like myself. PMS has put me through the ringer time and time again, and I know it's not just me. I've seen my relationship suffer in those times when PMS takes over. Estro Control works to relieve many of those consuming PMS symptoms, helping us regain control. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with a promo code IDO at checkout. That's Happy Mammoth, MAMMOTH.com, and use the promo code IDO for 15% off your first order.
So outside of the obvious fact that these people are separated physically for most of their lives, what are some of the challenges that they're facing as couples that can kind of relate to what a lot of couples might be facing? And then obviously we can layer in the unique challenges too. It'd be interesting to hear about that.
Sure. I think communication, the challenges and real profundity of communication in a prison relationship, it's kind of what we experience out in the world, but amplified. So as you say, many of these couples do not ever get to experience real privacy with their partner. Conjugal visits exist in only 4 states and they don't happen in every facility in those states. So, you know, the most you might get in terms of physical intimacy with your loved one is being at a visit where you can get a kiss and a hug at the beginning and, you know, like a closed mouth kiss, right? Like a pet, and hold hands during a visit. And that's really it. So because of that separation, the role of communication in these relationships is huge. And what does that mean? People in prison generally get, you know, several opportunities a day to use the phone, and those phone calls last only 15 minutes, and they come at a pretty significant cost for most people. They're collect phone calls. So I heard so many couples say to me, like, well, we've learned to fight in 15-minute increments, you know, just to kind of like meet those standards and protocols. But I think that what is really cool about the couples I interviewed is that they've had to learn how to communicate and get to know each other in this very focused way where physicality is not an option anymore. So you go really deep with people and you get really vulnerable with people. And the letter writing piece, which is so old fashioned, you know, in our kind of 21st century digital life, people were really like pouring their hearts out in these letters and getting to know each other in this very slow, methodical, really romantic way. So that was really interesting. And then because of, again, these separations and challenges, the couples I interviewed were forced to become very innovative and very creative in the way they expressed their love and admiration for each other. So that would be anything from, you know, a husband in prison calling a wife and her saying, well, let's go for a walk, and taking the phone call out by a lake and describing everything she sees to kind of bring him into her world. And, you know, sending photographs once a week, just of daily life, not of anything posed or special, but, you know, here we are at the ball game, here we are going out to eat. And, you know, the ways in which the men who are incarcerated would show their love to their wives, really small gestures that, you know, don't seem like much maybe on the outside, was swelled with this huge meaning. One person told me about going out and picking wildflowers for his wife in the prison yard and sending them to her in an envelope. And that's the way he would send her flowers. So I just think between the communication and the creativity and innovation that these couples, you know, by necessity are forced to imagine, I thought was very inspiring and very cool.
Did you get any details on how the couple work through their 15-minute fights?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I think that first, you know, in a way, what I heard described to me is there are, you know, no one I interview, believe me, would like wish for incarceration. You know, it really is a nightmare. However, there are some things kind of built in that do have, you know, a kind of appeal. So for example, like when you're fighting with your husband at wife or wife at home, you know, and especially in the quarantine and everything, like there was no escaping them. You know, you could go into separate rooms, but you could still hear them breathing or doing whatever it was that was irritating you. So, you know, people really said, we have that 15-minute phone call, but then we can hang up and we can process and we can kind of be on our own and be with those feelings and reflect and have some space to do that and then come back to each other, you know, whether it's via writing an email or sending a message or getting back on that phone call to talk about it. So, you know, I think that the time and space afforded these couples both has its huge, you know, obvious drawbacks, but also some very subtle benefits too.
Is there one thing that you found like the most inspiring that you took away and maybe put into your relationship or that you would recommend like our listeners try?
Certainly. I will never forget being out to eat with an incredible woman, Regina, whose husband was in prison serving a pretty long sentence. And, you know, we were just out to eat and I was asking her about her relationship and her marriage. And she, I noticed, was kind of distracted by another couple at the restaurant. And when we left, she said, "Did you see them?" I said, "Oh, no, no. What do you mean?" She said, "They were both on their phones the whole time. You know, they were out to eat and getting to spend time with each other, but were completely ignoring one another, both kind of just wrapped up in doing whatever." So it just became very apparent to me what a privilege it is just to get to be in the physical presence of our loved ones. And I think we all experienced that a little bit, you know, going through COVID, being separated from family members, perhaps, you know, and then the flip side's also being like trapped in the house with our husbands and wives too, and like being a little too close for comfort. But the thing I really took away from that is just how special it is to get to share time and space with my husband. And I thought about it so much. I'm very conscientious now to most of the time have my phone away when we're eating dinner, when we're watching TV and hanging out, and really get to, you know, revel in each other's physical presence and to really listen and to really just cherish that. I got married in the course of reporting this book, and that was something that I did write into my vows to my husband, that it is so special just that we get to be together. And that's something that we take for granted a lot. And I want to promise you that I will not take that for granted, that just to be able to spend time with you is huge. And I really do cherish that.
I'm thinking of Stoic philosophy, where they have, you know, memento mori, which is like the reminder of death, that it's impermanent. And so in a way, it's like not taking anything in our life for granted, but certainly not our partner, in that they could be gone or they could be locked up. And that will force us, if we have to always remind ourselves that, and it'll force us to pay more attention and really be present in those moments.
Yeah, I found that it also makes the little irritations a bit more manageable too. You know, like when my husband has left the cabinet door open. That's like his thing. Like, he's physically incapable of closing a cabinet door. I can look at that and just say, "Oh, well, you know, that's something, that's a tiny thing." And I can be irritated by that, or I can kind of delight in that as, you know, just like evidence that he is in this house with me, and that's kind of great. I don't do that every time, I will say, but, you know, I strive for that.
Exactly. Well, you talk about the connection between these prison relationships and real world outside of prison relationships, and how we both experience, you know, desire and delusion in these relationships. So can you talk, let's talk a little bit about each, maybe starting with desire.
Sure. I think that the desire piece, when it comes to prison relationships, is there is something, you know, very romantic about this separation, right? Like, that it just really is this container to inspire a lot of longing. And, you know, I think the flip side of that, when you talk about delusion, is that there's also a lot of room for projection, because, you know, like many of the couples I profiled, Joe and Ben, for example, they lived on opposite sides of the country. So they would get to spend time physically together, you know, twice a year. So there's a lot of desire that in between time can inspire, but also it is hard to get to know the kind of day-to-day of someone within that. Of course, they were writing and talking, you know, constantly, but it is a little bit different than, you know, seeing how someone like treats the waiter at a restaurant, for example. You know, you don't get those specific data points. So I think that's a big stereotype that we have about these relationships is that, oh, these people are delusional, right? Like they think that either he didn't do it or, you know, they're really ignoring something else big in their life or psychology, that this is what works for them. But most of the people I met and interviewed were so reflective and so introspective that they had really asked themselves those questions. And the thing about having a relationship with someone in prison where all of your communication, all of your interaction is mediated, and you have to follow very specific rules and protocols to just be able to have that interaction, you have to be so deliberate at every turn. You know, you're constantly getting a stumbling block of saying, okay, well, now you have to do X, Y, and Z, where you have to ask yourself, do I want to do that? Do I want to do that badly enough to see this person? So in that way, they're not delusional at all. They're much more deliberate than a lot of our relationships on the outside can be, where, you know, it's a thing of kind of going through the motions and, you know, just being on autopilot. So I think that's what it is for people who are in these relationships with someone who's incarcerated. But the piece about delusion that struck me, you know, by contrast in thinking about our free world relationships is just the fact that any relationship you enter is kind of based on delusion, you know, essentially, because like when we make these vows to each other in marriage that we're going to, you know, till death do us part, I mean, that's a little delusional. We just don't know, you know, and it's a positive delusion, right? You have to take this leap of faith in order to get it off the ground. But I think that all relationships are based on a little bit of mutual delusion because, you know, you don't always know what you're signing up for. And we're always changing and circumstances are always changing. So I think we're all delusional, you know, in the best possible sense of it.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. When you work full-time, have kids, and run a podcast, it's hard to make time for a multiple-step skincare protocol. That's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. Let me repeat it. They make it easy. No complicated routine, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. If you're looking for skincare products that are simple and effective, for a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase when using the code IDO when you check out at oneskin.co. I've been using OneSkin's body lotion for about a month, and I've already seen noticeable improvements with small wrinkles and textures on my skin, specifically on the back of my neck and the back of my hands, two places where I get a lot of sun. Plus, my skin looks and feels healthier all around. It's all thanks to OneSkin's revolutionary OS-01 peptide, the first ingredient proven to deactivate aging cells responsible for lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. Unlike traditional skincare products that only mask symptoms, OneSkin pioneered a new approach integrating tissue engineering and cutting-edge science to enhance skin biology for lasting resilience against aging. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using the code IDO at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with the code IDO. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support your show and tell them we sent you. Hey, Love Tribe. I just want to ask you a few questions. I want to know why you guys are here. Are you here because you want to stop bickering with your partner? Do you want to feel truly heard? Are you looking for ways to reignite your sex life? Or do you want to feel more emotionally connected with your partner? And let's not forget about the fun. Do you long for those fun, giggly moments at the beginning of your relationship? Over the last decade of hosting this podcast with Chase, these have been our top questions. And we get it. We've been there. And that's why we created Spark My Relationship course, because we wanted to put the tools to unlocking a fulfilling relationship right in your hands. So we're offering this course, Spark My Relationship, for only $100 until April 6th. In less than 90 days, this self-paced course will help you create more passion, improve your communication, and build a stronger, more intimate connection with your partner, all while having fun doing it. We've collaborated with over 15 psychologists and therapists to bring you the strategies that marriage therapists teach their client. This offer is only going to last until Saturday, April 6th. So head on over to our website, sparkmyrelationship.com, and use the code FLASH24 at checkout to get the course for only $100. That's nearly 60% off, and it won't last. The sale ends April 6th. That's sparkmyrelationship.com and use the code FLASH24 to get our course for only $100.
We love those anecdotes. And yeah, it's so true. And we can take the let's call it inspiration of this forced separation that's creating longing from these relationships. And that creates desire. And those of us that are non-incarcerated are fortunate enough to be able to move freely, but we can still create that by having some space from our partner, by taking some time apart. I'm laughing because I'm remembering, if anyone watches Modern Family, and I don't know, Elizabeth, if you are going to know what I'm talking about, but the main character, this funny, goofy guy, and every Valentine's Day with his wife, Claire, Phil and Claire, they put on alter egos and they go to like a hotel and they meet at the bar, and he's always some ridiculous character and just clumsy, and it's just hilarious. If you guys have not seen it, check out any of the Valentine's Day episodes. But my point is they're creating this desire, this novelty. It's not exactly longing, but it's being creative and forced stipulations, right? So maybe stay away from your partner for 3 days, you know, if you have that luxury, or if that works out. And that's going to kind of create some of that tension and desire. And we've talked about that on past episodes. And then also with you talking about the delusion and how the people are very cognizant of the people that they're with that are incarcerated. And to me, I hear that there's an acceptance. They're accepting their partner for who they are and saying like, yeah, I know that this is that person. They did a bad thing. They're changing or whatever they say, but there's a recognition of that's who they are and that's who they're choosing to love, and not trying to make them their partner something that they're not.
That's exactly right. And you know, in a lot of ways, these relationships are more honest in a sense, because you get your partner's rap sheet up front. you know what they're in for, right? I think with a lot of our relationships out here, there's, you know, a bit more digging that you might have to do to learn that. But that acceptance piece is huge. And a lot of the people I wrote about, you know, the charges they had were very serious. Like in some cases, these were violent crimes. So to work through that and to understand that, and to, you know, I think one of the things I'll always remember from an interview is what one prison wife told me, saying that, you know, I'm not marrying this person's past. I'm marrying who they are today. And I think that that's something we can all take. You know, it's so easy in a marriage to let resentments fester. But to just try to love our partner as they are today, you know, as these imperfect people that are, you know, we're usually just trying our best. That was also very inspiring to me.
Did you interview any couples that had already been together prior to one person being incarcerated, and then the person that was not, really struggling with resentment and forgiveness of, you know, maybe them
changing the whole relationship and being put away. Were there any conversations like that?
I did interview those couples. I don't write about them much in the book because the focus is about couples who met while incarcerated. But the couples I met, I interviewed who knew each other before, they often knew each other more in the earlier part of their lives, like in childhood. They'd gone to school together and then went their separate ways and then reconnected once someone was in prison. So I didn't have that experience of, you know, the couple where suddenly the whole world is turned on its head. But I imagine, you know, that presents its own set of challenges for sure. And as you say, resentment, but still, you know, I think that the commitment and loyalty I saw over and over again, it's just really incredible. And it puts a lot of things into perspective about, you know, what we tend to like quarrel about in our marriages.
Well, Elizabeth, this is fascinating stuff. And I think really valuable to provide perspective to those of us that are not in an incarcerated relationship. And we've gone over those things of like not taking our partner for granted, you know, being present, accepting them for who they are. And before we wrap up, are there any things that we skipped over or some things you would like to bring up that you think would be valuable for our listeners to hear?
Yeah. Another thing I noted in couples, you know, because there's so much time apart, so many challenges, right? So like what sustains a relationship? What propels it day after day, year after year, in spite of all of these challenges? And one thing I noticed with couples who did have a very successful track record of staying together is that they came together over some kind of shared personal project. So for example, Sheila and Joe, who I write about in the book, they really bonded over their shared passion for social justice. So while Joe was still incarcerated, they actually wrote books together. They started a nonprofit together and did a lot of organizing. So this was a project that they had in common that was not just about them and it wasn't just about their situation. It was making something positive from the situation that other people could learn from. And Joe and Ben also, they co-authored a workbook for other prison couples based on their own experiences that they ended up self-publishing. So I think one thing that I noticed that was really cool that I think we can all strive for is having this third thing that you're looking out at together. You know, you have your partner, but then you're looking at this third thing. So whether that's family, children, some kind of volunteering mission, I think having that shared passion to take you out of yourself a little bit and into something bigger was a very big takeaway for me.
Thank you for sharing that, Elizabeth. And we really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing this fascinating information and stories that you've gathered through writing your book. Before we wrap up, can you tell our listeners where they can find you online and then we'll say goodbye?
Sure. So you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Liz Greenwood for you. The number 4, the letter U, and you can visit me at lizgreenwood.com.
Wonderful. We'll have all the links to that information in your website, in the show notes, and in the podcast description. And thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's show, guys. As always, the links will be in the podcast description as well as on the show notes on our website at idopodcast.com. And while you're on our website, we hope you guys check out our free 14-day happy couple challenge. It's a challenge where we send you a daily email for 14 days with easy, doable challenges to help strengthen and improve your relationship. And it's honestly, just a whole lot of fun to do with your partner. It's something new, and we think you guys will really enjoy it. So check it out. And while you're on the website, there are tons of free resources, as well as more information about our online course, Spark My Relationship, where our listeners can get $100 off. So check that out. You can go directly to the course website at sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. And that's where you can get the $100 off. So thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.